I want to take some time to talk about what is happening on Sunday night. We're looking at 1 Corinthians 13. And Phil started out by, on a Sunday morning, preaching from verses 1 through 3. And then on Sunday evening, he started with the first thing listed there in verse 4, love is patient. And that was followed up last week with Mark speaking to us on love is kind. I think this is a hugely, hugely significant part of God's Word. And I love the way it is spread out over the summer. And the men who are going to preach are actually being given a small thread of that. Here's the key thing. How are we to profit? I'm asking myself this. How am I going to get the most out of this time this summer of looking at 1 Corinthians 13? How are you going to? Well, the first thing is you're here. You're here. That's where you start. But you're going to have to do something beyond simply being here. You're going to have to come here expectantly. Expecting God the Holy Spirit is going to meet with us, His people. And as the Word is shared, we're going to benefit from that. And the way you and I can really benefit is this. During the week that lies before us, we meditate. We think about what we have heard all week, every day of that week, what was shared, and then we ask God the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. And if something is significant to happen, it's going to happen on that basis. I want to start out by reading you two verses that Phil shared with us this morning. John 13, 34 and 35. Jesus speaking, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That is unbelievable. Truly unbelievable. That people are going to know about the Lord Jesus Christ by simply looking at us and how they love one another. I'm reading a book to that end right now. It's by a man who is in Capitol Hills Baptist Church in Washington, D.C. That's where Mark Devers, the pastor. And he talks about a community who has depth and breadth. Depth is going in the Word deeper and deeper. Breadth has to do with diversity. This church has diversity. Diversity in all kinds of ways. And back there, they don't organize people within the church by singles or this or that or whatever. They encourage diversity and people coming together on that basis. when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and when Paul included this particular chapter, which is actually very short, he was emphasizing the importance of love. Two ways. Love ought to be the distinguishing characteristic of our life. And love is so essential. And Phil talked about this when he looked at the first three verses. Love is so essential that we are nothing without it. That's a strong word. You are nothing. I am nothing without love. And people witnessing that and seeing that in our lives. Okay, want to do something else before we get going here. Get this book. Okay? I'm going to repeat it. Get this book. It's by Phil Ryken. It's called Loving the Way Jesus Loves. I think Bonnie got this through Amazon. If you go to Amazon and punch in Phil Ryken and find this book, they'll sell it to you new, but there's other new and used. You can get a book like this for a couple of bucks, sometimes even cheaper than that. You're going to pay more postage, unless you have Prime, than this book is sells for. If you're to benefit from this series, get this book. Read it, and reread it. It's the kind of a book that you could benefit from reading it every year. Some people read Knowing God by J.I. Packer every year, and they've been doing it for several. Get the book, okay? I'm going to give you three significant quotes. Two from Philip Ryken and one from Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. Philip Ryken says this in that book: what matters most is not how gifted we are, but how loving we are. Second quote: the love that Jesus has shown to us proves to be the love that He wants us to show to others. That is what loving the way Jesus loves is all about. Because in this book, He not only explains what love is, but He uses an example from the life of Jesus. And I'll tell you, from me tonight, you're going to hear some contents of that book. The other thing is, I want to tell you a little bit about the Church of Corinth. Corinth was a major metropolitan church city. It was hugely important city. The church there was a divided church. They were divided over theology, practice, social class, spiritual gifts. There were divisions within the church. Some followed Paul, Peter, Apollos, and some followed Christ. There were conflicts over ministry. There were some who were saying, my spiritual gift is better than your spiritual gift. It was a church full of self-centered Christians. And that's why Paul included this chapter in Corinthians. I'm going to read the entire chapter. This is God's word. Those with ears, let us hear. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I'm a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Let's pray. Our great God, we come before you tonight as a needy people, every single one of us. We're needy. So God, I would ask that you meet with us tonight as we look at this chapter. Thank you, Father, that you've included it in your word. Help me to be clear, to be accurate, and to be able to preach in the unction and power of the Holy Spirit. For I ask this in Jesus' name, that he would be glorified. Amen. What I'm talking to you about tonight is couched in negative language. Does not. And there's several that start with does not or is not. It's the negative. Both of these words have something in common. The focus on how we handle the good things that happen. The focus on how we handle success, whether it's the success of others or whether it's our own success. That's what's being talked about here. And that's how they're in common. They would have been seen. Envy and boasting would have been characterized in the church at Corinth, just like envying and boasting is characterized by the people of Gold Country Baptist Church, Dean Orr included. Not a one of us here escapes these two words of being envious and boasting of ourselves. And we might be so used to those two things that we're just kind of at home with them. The book by Jerry Bridges on respectable sins, where he talks about things like that. We all know how difficult it is to deal with hard things in life. Difficulties and discouragements and disappointments. But listen, sometimes it's hard to handle success. And you know that if you but stop and think about it. So first of all, we're going to look at the success of others, and that falls underneath the category of envy, of being envious when people experience success. And by the way, this can be in all kinds of ways and situations. It's so broad. And it can really be a part of families. I'm not just talking about your immediate family, but I'm talking about extended family members who all of a sudden experience success. We have a family member, a broader family member, who retired from BART, and he discovered that he had $250,000 that he wasn't even aware of. $250,000! I thought about that more than once. Listen, I would have been aware of that. But you see how that can work? So I want to emphasize here, it can happen in so many different ways. It can happen. I just read one of the best articles. Okay, do this. Get Desiring God app on your phone. And read it. It comes out every day. Somebody writes, this past week, one of the men wrote about being competitive and how that fosters all kinds of problems. Being competitive with your best friend who's a lot like you, who suddenly becomes your rival, who suddenly was asked to work with one of the leading professors at where they were. He didn't know how to deal with that. He was envious. Envy means to burn or boil. And that's what we can do when we sometimes find out about good things happening to others out there. One writer says this, envy is the pain we feel over someone else's prosperity. It is resentment of someone else's good plus an itch to despoil it. Plus the itch to rob that of him and make it our own. So if you want to rob it for him, that's really a form of hostility. We don't rejoice over the success of others, but we also desire to see that others lose what they have. And maybe what some of what they have starts coming our way. Do we have examples of this in Scripture? Absolutely. Think about Joseph. Joseph was his father's favorite, and this did not set well with his brothers. He got that coat. That didn't set well. They did something about it. They threw him in a pit and sold him as a slave. That's what they did. That's what it came to. Took back his cloak, put blood on it, gave it to his father. What about in Corinth? If you read chapter 3 of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, Paul accused these Corinthians of being jealous. And by the way, envious and being jealous can get in the same category here. He accused them of being jealous and full of strife. There were divisions in that church. It was chaotic. There was ill will. There were rivalries. There were oppositions. There were backbiting going on. What is true love? What do we put off? We put off envy, and here's what we put on. Philippians 2:3 says it. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. We thank God when someone out there experiences success. We thank God for that. And I tell you, that may be hard on various occasions. But you know what you do? You keep thanking God. That's what you keep thanking. That God blessed that person. That God showered His gifts on that person. At the very end, I want to tie in the sovereignty of God with this on what I'm talking about. So that's the first thing, envious. Being envious of others when they experience success. But what about if we're the ones that experience success? It can be hard to watch something good happen to others, but it can equally be hard to handle success when it happens to us. And that's why Scripture here is very clear in saying, love does not boast. Let me give you some synonyms. I have this dictionary where I study. It's right on my left, and I open the door and I grab it fairly often. There's a catharsis right at the bottom. Here's some of the words they give for boasting. Love does not brag, gloat, vaunt, strut. We have another relative, lives in Sacramento. He had tickets to the music circus. His goal every year was to get closer to the front row. And he asked us to go with him to the music circus. We parked. But I kept looking at my watch because we were going to be late. But that was in his plan. He wanted to strut down the aisle. That's what he did it. He's strutting down the aisle, letting people know, I'm here. Hey, I'm here. Watch me next year. I'll be a little closer. You know, we laugh at that, but I'll tell you, we do the same thing. And you might be shocked at how often you end up boasting. I could give you some personal examples, but if I gave them to you, I would be sinning because I would be boasting. Honest. I thought about that and I said, well, I can't do that. I want to be boasting about not boasting. You see, the loving person does not demand attention. He doesn't demand attention. Lauren Sanney was the president of the Navigators for years and years and years. He happened to attend the church that my sister went to, and she knew him well. Philip Ryken shares about Lauren Sanney after preaching in his church in the morning. After church, he took off his coat and tie and changed the attire of a young woman who was a single parent. That act spoke greater than anything he said to the people who witnessed that. Lauren Sanney traveled all over the world. He was a humble man. He didn't boast. Boasting is a sin of speech. We use words to let people know how great we are. I can't tell you how much I've done this. Overtly, but subtly too. Lewis Smedes. I found out when Mark preached last week, Philip Ryken quotes Lewis Smedes a lot in his book. He calls boasting our private advertising business, our little campaign to publicize an image of ourself. It's really what it is, isn't it? And we can have the habit, and it is so ingrained in us, we just don't even realize it. One way you might try is how often you say the word I when telling somebody about yourself. I do this, I do that, I. That is a form of boasting. Now, I want to talk about the sovereignty of God when it comes to both envying and boasting. One of the issues regarding the church at Corinth was spiritual gifts, and I've already mentioned this. My gift is better than your gift. I'm going to read to you from the book of Romans, the 12th chapter, starting at verse 3 and going through verse 8. And the translators of the ESV entitled this Gifts of Grace. Listen and listen carefully. For by the grace God, But for by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if serving in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let me ask you this. Who is responsible for gifting us? God the Holy Spirit. We have nothing to do with that. I dare us to boast. We have no ground to boast. Our ground is, our hearts are so full of gratitude. And it all comes down to the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God is so critical, so essential in every aspect of our life. And when you fully come to grips with your salvation in relationship to God's sovereignty, you will be unbelievably humble. How can you boast? If there was any man who could boast, it was the Apostle Paul, the writer of these words that we've looked at. Paul said, there's only one I'm going to boast of. That's Christ. That's my Lord. That's who I'm going to boast of. So I want to end with two questions. And I'm asking myself, as well as you, is your life characterized by envy? You could be sitting there tonight so full of envy because something good, some success somebody has experienced. Second question, is your life characterized by boasting? Those are sin. Both of them. They're sin. They're not a part of loving the way Jesus loves. I'm going to give you some time tonight to think about what you've heard. Is your life characterized by envy? Is your life characterized by boasting? And if that is true, we need to confess that. We need to repent. And we need to ask God the Holy Spirit to continue to do that work. Because I will guarantee you, before this week is over, you're going to have a chance to envy and you're going to have a chance to boast. I will guarantee you that, and so will I. So let's take some time just to think about what Paul has told us. And then I'll pray. Our Father God, you are gracious. You're our Father. And for that, we are eternally grateful. Father, search our heart, search my heart. And Father, help us to deal with these two negative aspects of how love is contrasted. Love does not envy or boast. God, search our hearts. And I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that we would deal with that. Thank you for your goodness, Father. Thank you for today. Thank you for what we heard this morning. And I pray, Father, that during the week that lies before us, that we will think about these two negative words that are contrasted to love. And Father, I pray for us as a church, Gold Country Baptist Church, that we would truly love one another. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.